Let's just turn to the book of Psalms, 7 verse 20, looking at how God has been leading us. I want to strongly encourage us. Next week is already kind of the Christmas weekend. On the 24th, we're going to be having something special. All right? I want us to be thinking about, on the 24th at least, how God has blessed you with regards to Christmas. Okay, why? The birth of Christ, how it does affect us. Okay, of course, do think about what you want to share on Watch Night as well. I think it's going to be a good time just reflecting on God's goodness, things we've gone through this year, and how God was faithful. Amen? God is faithful. God is so faithful to us. And I believe in many of us will have testimonies to share. Tears will flow freely. It's always good to give. Let the Redeemer of the Lord say so. God gave us so much this year, both individually and as a church. And you never know what God has done for us until we just pause, okay? Just pause and just reflect, okay? One of the biggest things we can do is to learn to always be reflecting on the goodness of God, okay? Because otherwise, we will always be constantly griping about life. Life has many gripes. Life has many things which will make us eat sour lemons. You know, having us, just that kind of face. But you know, if we would just think on the goodness of God. You know, it's not a coincidence that God actually encourages us to think on the good things. Let's put it this way. It's very easy to think of bad things. I was actually part of a workshop that I was doing. It was very busy because I had two full days. One day workshop, another day was consultation. And so in my workshop, there was just 80 people. And I got these three pairs of friends that came out. And they got them to say this. I want you to say something nice about the other person. Two good things about the other person. They had a hard time. They had a hard time saying something nice about the other person. Okay? And I was asked, was it hard for you to say something nice about someone? He said, yes. No, sometimes it's so hard to think of the good things. But that's what God commands us to do. Okay? Whatever things are lovely, think on those things. Alright? And then hopefully tonight we will think on those things. Let's look at Psalm 77 and verse 20. Let's stand, alright, as we read just verse 20. Just one verse. Because today we'll talk about the leading hand of God. Okay? Psalm 77 verse 20. Let's read together. Ready? One, two, begin. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to reflect tonight your goodness. Oh Father, it is as we know that it's just going to be 15 days before the end of this year. But yet, Lord, looking back at the 11 months, the things that thou hast brought us through. Father, it's just amazing, Father, your hand. The hand of God, though invisible, yet very visible in our lives. Very visible in Ambassador. Father, we thank you tonight that we can just take some time to just reflect. Because thy word teaches us that you lead us like a flock. By human instruments, by Moses and Aaron. And tonight, Lord, we pray that the 5 points we're going to bring up help us to understand a little bit more about how you have led us this year. And Lord, we know, Lord, someone has once said that what you have done in the past is a promise that what you're going to do in the future. And we thank you, Lord, because you've led us up till now. It's a visible evidence that you will lead us in the future. So tonight, Lord, we pray you speak to us in a special way. May everyone leave this place with the sure knowledge that their Heavenly Father holds their hand every step of the way to lead them, Lord, to the place you want them to go, that they might fulfill your will for them. And even as a church, we might learn to walk together in one, as one, as we follow your leading to whoever, Lord, you might appoint to lead. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Okay. Some background, right? The Bible says, thou leddest thy people like a flock. And if you look at Psalm 77, it's a psalm of Asaph, where he was actually he was complaining. If you look at verse 2, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remember God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. That might be a picture of what we have gone through this year. We complained about many things. Our spirit was sore. And you know what? As you read on in the psalm, you begin to realize in verse 10, this is very important. Because as you read verse 7, there was some confusion in the life of a Christian. Asaph, he said, will the Lord cast off forever? Will He be favorable no more? Does there come a time whereby, as I complain about my trouble, Lord, how many of you have been at that stage whereby you kind of complain and you kind of say, Lord, where are you? How many of us? I think some of us, many of us, in fact, all of us who have problem gone through that stage whereby, God, where are you? Verse 8, in His mercy, is His mercy clean gone forever? Does His promise fail forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies? Selah. In verse 10, notice what the psalmist says. If I ever think on this thing, it's because I'm weak. Because you look at verse 10. And I said, this is my infirmity. This is my weakness. You know, when I go through these trials, I just find it so hard to remember the goodness of God. But, he says, this is my weakness. My the way I think is wrong. I know it's wrong. And so he decides that he's going to switch. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. And tonight we want to remember the right hand of the Most High. You know what it means to have the right hand? Generally speaking, 90 to 95% of the world's population is right-handed. And usually right-handed, the right hand is a symbol of power. Okay, I give you my right hand. Alright? The right hand of God is a symbol of what God can do by His strength. Okay? And the rest of it, he talks about, I will meditate of all thy works, verse 11, and thy talk of thy doings. As you go through, finally in verse 20, this psalmist actually remembered the old history of Israel. How God led them. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Looking back to Israel, Israel was enslaved for how many years? Bible knowledge. How many years was Israel enslaved in the land of Egypt? How many years? 400 years, okay? Some people claim Israel was in Egypt for 430 years, okay? And the extra 30 years is accounted for. The 400 years was the enslavement. The 30 years was when Israel first moved into the land of Egypt. Does that make sense? It was a time of peace. Okay, during that time, until the new Pharaoh came. So it was 400 years they were enslaved, but they were freed by God, right? Okay, how did God free them? How did God free the children of Israel from Egypt? He freed them by using Moses, okay? By the plagues, and ultimately it was by God's power. And today I want to show you five things. The verse says here, thou leddest thy people like a flock. How did God lead them? How did God lead them? And this year, how did God lead us? It's time for reflection. Number one, God had a plan. Okay, God had a plan. Let's look at Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29:11. And then maybe I'll get Jeremiah. You can turn to Psalm 139, verse 17 to 18. Okay, we'll read Jeremiah 29:11 first. I love this verse. I learned this verse in 1983. And I've never forgotten it. That God has a plan for all of us. Let's read together. Let's be encouraged by this. Ready? One, two, go. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. The word expected end means to give you a future. God has a plan. He leads us by a plan. God is not haphazard like us. Okay? God has a plan. Psalm 139, verse 17, 18.
Psalm 139, verse 17, 18. Thou precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee.
Okay, the psalmist David reflects, Lord, how precious are thy thoughts towards me. Let me ask you a question. Besides your quiet time today, if you did your quiet time today, how many of you actually thought about God today? Put up your hand. No, don't put up your hand. Look. How many of you actually thought about God today? I know we're all busy people. But those having holidays, how many of you actually thought about God today? You thought, think of that, God, you're so good. Oh, God, help me, or some. How many of you actually thought about God today? You know, when you think of that, How much do you think He thinks about us? The Bible says, yeah, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. This is one person talking, okay? David was talking. That God, if I can count your thoughts towards me, they are more than the sands of the sea. One person. That's how much God thinks about us. I don't know about you. How many of you, I think occasionally, sometimes we may receive an SMS or a note from someone. And then you may reply and say, thank you for thinking about me. You know, sometimes we are so busy that we forget that other people are also having some struggles. Can you imagine God doesn't fail to think about us? That's why the psalm says, how precious are thy thoughts towards us. What is God's plan for Israel? Just read a few verses. Genesis 18:18. You just listen. Seeing that Abraham shall become a great and mighty nation. It was God's plan to make Israel a mighty nation. During that time, Abraham was merely probably about 50 people with all his sons and all the wives and all that. So about 50 people. But in Exodus chapter 1 and verse 7, the purpose for God to bring Joseph into Egypt is for Joseph to be the second in command, to then bring in his family into Egypt so that the family will not die of starvation in the land in Genesis. But when in Exodus 1 verse 7, the Bible says, and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty. The land was filled with them. It came to the point whereby God says, I'm going to make you a mighty nation. The plan was executed in Joseph. Alright, when Israel went in, Jacob went into the land of Egypt with the 12 sons, the land exploded with the Jews. Okay, it came to the point there was a change of Pharaoh, of course, then the Pharaoh said, hey, these guys are so big. By the time of Exodus chapter 1, Israel has become a mighty nation. Close to 1 million people about that time, okay? So, and they were exceeding mighty. God's plan was for them to be a mighty nation, and that happened. That happened, okay? And one of the things we need to understand, God is never in a rush. Because sometimes for us, we want it, and we want it now. I want you to change your behavior, I want it to change now. I want the plan to start, I want it now. Okay, during the conference, the workshop that we were conducting, I had this psychologist who she's quite an elderly lady, very experienced. She's worked in working with children with problems for 30 years. And you know what she said? She said one of the things she realized that things have changed for the better, but there's still a long way to go. But you know what? Things have changed. All right, we were in a situation whereby some people just finding it hard to change. But you know what? We've got to start somewhere. For God, God is never in a hurry. Remember one of the things as we are looking for a new place, God is seldom early, never late. And it happened to us when we were looking for God is seldom early, never late. Okay? God has a plan and it happened. Okay? God has a plan for your life this year. Point number two. He knows what He's doing. Okay, look at Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Number one, how did God lead them? God has a plan. Number two, God knows what He's doing. He knew what He's doing this year for us, as He was with Moses. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. Okay, I'll read there. And just listen to the words of our Savior, our great God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Notice of three things. Number one, God has seen, God has heard, God knows. God has seen, God has heard, and God knows. In Exodus 3:7, can I contemporize, okay, if it's just a word, make it contemporary for us today. God knows, God has seen what the things you go through. God has heard whatever that you sigh, some people will sigh, how come this happened? And God not only knows those things, God knows. God knows their sorrows. God knows the deepest parts of our lives where we are going through it. And guess what in verse 8? I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. God says, I'm coming down. I'm coming down to do two things. Number one, to deliver them out of the hands of Egyptians, and then to bring them to a land. Can I say this? I believe this is consistently qualified by Scripture. When God takes us out of something, He's always bringing us to somewhere else. When God brings us out of something, He's always bringing us to somewhere else, which is better. Amen? When God finishes with us here in 1096, He's going to bring us to somewhere else, which is better. Amen? And God is always moving us forward. I believe with all my heart, and whoever that will take over ambassador next time or whatever, you need to understand, God will always take you from somewhere to somewhere else that is better. Okay? That's very, very important for us to understand. Into a place of the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now that sounds a little bit funny because God takes you to a land flowing with milk and honey where all the enemies are. All the difficulties are. Okay, we'll talk about that a bit later. Look at verse 10. Sorry, verse 9. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. God had a plan, right? God had a plan. God had a massive plan in the land of Egypt, and it's to bring the Israelites out. And God says, Moses, I want you to go. God involves us in His plan. God involves us in His plan. And the challenge for us today is, do we know how we are involved in God's plan? Do we see that plan? Okay? Because God has, He knows what He's doing. Do you realize everything that you've gone through this year, God had that plan? Do you see that hand? Huh? When do you join us? Christy and Samuel, was it? When do you first find the track that... This year, right? Was it this year? Can you see the hand of God? Can you see the hand of God? Some of you are still in ambassador, thank God for that. But do you see the hand of God? Do you see the hand of God, what He is doing? The fruit of something started is that the person goes on from strength to strength in God. Does that make sense? And that's something that, I don't know about you, but I'm encouraged. You realize we are involved in this plan. All of us are involved in this plan. Everyone sitting here and everyone who is not here, the reason why you're here, God has a plan. Those who are here, God has a plan for you to be encouraged that you're in His plan. Amen? Because He's leading us. But those who are not here, if you're listening to the message over the internet, alright?
Are you listening?
God has a plan for you too. Alright? I hope you're listening. And that's an encouragement, you know. It could be you're sick, or maybe you're out there doing something for someone. I don't know, be a blessing. God has a plan. And He knows what He's doing. And as a pastor, I've learned not to worry. I've learned it so hard, but you know what? It's come to a point whereby my mind, my infirmity comes when I complain, but I will remember the works of God in His right hand. What God can do. He knows what He's doing. Number three is a big point for me. And number one, He has a plan. Number two, He knows what He's doing. Number three, listen. The smiter of Egypt is the shepherd of Israel. The same God that destroys Egypt with a mighty hand, the same God that leads us gently. You are here today still. Do you realize how many enemies God has dealt with without you even knowing? Huh? Do you realize, children, how much problems you could have had unless mom and dad interferes? And sometimes we fail to give thanks at the end of the day. God, thank you for unseen problems that I don't even know about that you protected me from. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Okay, I'm going to show you something. I think most of us know, but maybe for the younger Christians, hopefully it's an encouragement. The smiter of Egypt is the shepherd of Israel. Hebrews chapter 1, the last verse. Let me just look at verse 13. Just 13 and 14, Hebrews chapter 1, I'll just read. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Okay, so referring to the angels. Verse 14, are the angels not, or ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? You know what the Bible is talking about? All of us has angels protecting us. God puts His angels to have care over us. And that the angel's job is to protect us. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivers them. And you realize how many times God has to stop the evil one. No, you're not supposed to do that. And can I say this? God does that whether you're in His will or not. Okay? If you're in His will, He protects you with all His heart. When you're not, He does protect you up to a certain point. When He will try to get your attention, but if you fail, I say, God, okay, that's time to withdraw that protecting hand so that I can deal with my child. Just like a father or a mother who would tell a child, look, I can help you this time, but you know what, if you keep on persisting, I can't help you. If the police comes in, that's it, I can't do anything else. Does that make sense? But you know the encouragement, the fact that we're still here means we're still under God's protecting hand. Okay, and that's something very, very encouraging. How did God smite Egypt? How did God smite Egypt? 10 plagues. Do you realize what happened at the end of the 10 plagues? The entire economy of Egypt was destroyed. You realize that? Every single thing, the water you cannot drink, all the cattle died, the grass was eaten up by locusts and grasshoppers, destroyed by hail with fire. At the end, all the firstborn of Egypt was died. The power of God was upon Egypt and He destroyed Egypt. But as the Lord destroyed Egypt, many times in the Bible, I think from the 4th or 5th plague onwards, there was darkness in the land of Egypt, but not in Israel, where Goshen, where the Israelites were. Okay, there was marine, okay, the disease upon cattle was in the land of Egypt, but it wasn't in Israel. As God smite the Egyptians, He was taking care of us. Can I say this? As God, perhaps, around the world many things are happening, but you know what? We're still safe. How many of us didn't take our dinner tonight? Not by choice one. You have a chance and you ate it. There are many people in this world haven't had their dinner tonight. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. God protects us. As the Lord destroyed Egypt, He protected us. The Israelites were under siege. Let's turn to Exodus 14. I just love this passage. Exodus 14, as we see how, as the Egyptians, the Israelites were under siege, as they were kind of surrounded by their enemies. Notice what God did. Exodus 14. Chapter 1, you just go up 2 verses. Chapter 13, verse 21. The Lord went before them by the way in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. The Bible says as Moses and the people of Israel, they are slaves, they don't know how to fight, and so God leads them by day by what? Using a pillar of cloud, and by night by a pillar of fire. Do you realize what? You know, the pillar of cloud and pillar of fire are all symbols of God's guidance, right? Do you realize why God led them with a pillar of cloud by day? I think I mentioned to you before, clouds go this way, but the pillar of cloud make it very clear that God is leading them, right? Do you realize there's another reason? I was studying today, it's like my eyes open, it's like, wow, what do clouds do? What do clouds do? Cover the sun in the wilderness. He shelters us from the heat of the day. What does light do? Shows us the way, right? What else? In the cold desert nights, give us warmth. Amen? In the times when perhaps in the deepest of your despair, God was there. Wasn't He? Amen? He leads us. Notice it's Exodus chapter 14. Look at verse 14. Alright, I think you know this passage whereby the Red Sea was in front, mountains on both sides, and the Egyptian army was coming. The Bible says in verse number 14, Exodus 14, the Lord shall fight for you, and he shall hold your peace. Verse 21, and verse 19, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them, and it came before the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Initially, the land of the pillar of fire was leading them, the pillar of cloud was leading them, and to the Red Sea. Now the enemy was coming. Guess what happened? God moved himself. The Bible says God moved himself from in front to the back to block the armies when the Israelites went in. Okay? And you know how long God blocked them? Until they were well across there, and then God removed. When I read this, for me, last time I was in the army, when I read this, it's like God was our block force. You know, no one could get through God. Okay? No one could get through God. You know why? God loved us. Say, you are not going to touch my loved one. Can you imagine as you go through the times perhaps and you were just struggling, God says, you're not going to touch my loved one. God was protecting us there. Alright? And then you look at verse 21, the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. God opened the Red Sea for his children to go through. How many times you were stuck, but God opened a way for you? How many times as a church we were stuck, God opened a way for us? This place, for example. We thank God for that. All the times that you were stuck, God opened the way for you. Give thanks to God. Verse 24, and it came to pass that in the morning of the Lord looked upon the host of Egyptians through the pillar of fire and the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. And verse 30, thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. You are still here today, but your problems are gone. Amen? And some of the things that you have gone through, you are still here today alive, but your problems are in the past. Of course, some of us may still be going through some, but you know what? If God has led you before, He will lead you now. Amen? And that's something I want us to be encouraged from. God protected them from Egypt out of bondage, in the wilderness to the Red Sea, from through the Red Sea and on to the Promised Land. The Lord was their shepherd. And that was what David was able to, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The word want means I won't lack any good thing. The Lord is my shepherd. I hope He's yours too. I know He is. Whether or not we believe that does not matter with God. He takes care of us anyway. Because He's our Father. He's our Heavenly Father. Whether we trust Him or not, believe Him or not, if we've trusted Him, and you know, sometimes in our lack of faith, we cannot trust Him. But God says, I remain faithful to you. I'm your shepherd. Number four. He has a plan. He knows what He's doing. The smiter of Egypt is the shepherd of Israel. Number four. As the Lord leads, He expects us to follow Him. Let's turn to Exodus 19. Exodus 19. Exodus 19. Exodus chapter 19. And verse number 3, as the Lord leads us, He expects us to follow Him. Look at verse number 3. Moses went up unto God. The Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. All of us have a testimony tonight. And I hope we'll hear lots on Watch Night, you know. But we have a testimony of how God helped us to overcome. Here in verse 8, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how I bear you on eagle's wings. What did God do to bring you to myself? God did not just bring us out of trouble so that we can be convenient or comforted. God brought us out of troubles to bring us to Him. Christians, get this. Every time you go through a trouble, a trial in your life, the end point is you must draw closer to God. Okay? And if you pray, something happens, you thank God, and it does not draw you closer to God, you know what? God's going to do it again. He's going to bring the trial again, because here it's so clear. God says, look, I prepare your eagle's wings to bring you to myself. That's why in the book of James, James tells the people, draw nigh unto God, and God will draw nigh to you. It's a do-it-yourself project. You've got to draw nigh to God first. Because God, by the way, God's always there, amen? God doesn't move. It's whether we choose to move or not. Remember the son, the prodigal son? The father was always there. The son had to come back when he left. Okay? So when you go through the trial, it is God who brings us back to him. Verse 5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. May I take the liberty to be God's spokespiece here? God says that as much as I brought you through the difficulties in your life to bring you to myself, the goal is for you to be a set apart nation. For ambassador to be a set apart people that God can use if we obey him. Okay? God says, I brought you out. When I lead you, I expect you to follow me. Look at Exodus 20, verse 20. Exodus 20 and verse 20. Just the next page. Exodus 20, verse 20. The Bible also says that Moses said unto people, the people was very afraid when Moses came down from Mount Sinai and said, oh, Moses, don't speak to God for us. You know, if God speak to us, we'll die. And then Moses said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Why? Because God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before your faces that you sin not. Every time we go through the trial, every time we see the holiness of God and his power, is an opportunity for us to reflect on the fact that God wants us to fear him. In fact, the whole process is to test our hearts. Moses said here, to prove you that his fear may be before your face that you sin not. And the purpose, because when you sin, there will be corruption. God says, I want you to see that my fear is within you. God expects us to follow him when he leads us. God expects us to see the signs and follow the sign. If there's a good thing that God is doing, we need to be following that. If you know for sure this is what God is doing, don't go the contrary way. Why? When God is giving you the blessings, why are we turning somewhere else? When God leads, he expects us to follow his expectation. Just like a dad or a mom say, Lord, we're going this way. Children say, no, I want to go that way. Say, why you go that way? Bye-bye. You know, then you go back, right? Okay. Why do we have to cry? Just follow full blessings, which I want to talk about now. When we follow God, there's a full reward. Let's look at 2 John chapter 1, verse 8. There is a full reward if we follow God. I know we are Christians. We've trusted Christ. But if God leads us, he expects us to follow. But what if sometimes we can be hindered from that? Okay, 2 John verse 8. Look to yourself that we lose not those things which we have wrought. Some of us have been faithful serving God in the past or even now. You know, John said, don't lose your full reward. Do you realize that as a pastor, when I serve God, at the end of my life, God's going to not only see what I did, but my attitude as I did do it. And so if I serve God with all my heart, with all my actions, okay, by my heart going, start complaining and all that kind of thing, you realize God only give me half the reward? It's not my full reward. Is there such a thing as a full reward? You better believe it. There is this thing called a full reward, meaning God's not going to judge us just based on what we do. He's going to judge us on our hearts. On the contrary, God's not just going to judge us on our hearts. He's going to judge our works too. God's going to judge the works and the heart. You got a lot of works, no heart, God's going to judge you. You got heart, no work, God's going to judge you too. Okay? That's why God said, don't lose the food. Do it with all your heart. That's why I said, whatsoever you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Okay? It means whatever you eat or drink, the actions, do it with the heart. Colossians chapter 3 says the same. Do everything with the heart. Okay, so that we don't lose the full reward. Okay, as God leads us, he expects us to follow, and he will give us a full reward. But what can hinder us from having a full reward? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 3. Okay, Hebrews chapter 3. What can hinder us from having a full reward? Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. This was still in the wilderness. But Paul uses an illustration from the wilderness wandering, verse 7. Hebrews 3, verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. What can hinder us from receiving the full reward? When God leads, we don't follow. What can hinder us from receiving the full reward? Number one, we hear God's word, but we harden our hearts. That's what happened to the Israelites. We hear God's word, but we harden our hearts. Hebrews chapter 9, 3 verse 9, second point. When your fathers tempted me, proved me and saw my works, 40 years. Therefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err. The word err means to roam away, to stray from what is true and what is safe. In other words, if you know we are supposed to do this, but you rationalize why you are not doing that, that is erring from the way. Okay? This is what was happening during that time. The Bible says here, they do always err. The word err also to go astray, to be deceived, to be seduced, to wander, to be out of the way. Okay? And how do they err? They err in their hearts. And they have not known the ways of God. Question for you. Alright? Do the children of Israel know the way of God? In the 40 years? Do they do? How do they know? They've been taught by Moses. Do you realize Moses told them the law twice? Twice! That's the first time was in Exodus, Leviticus. Do you know when's the second time? Deuteronomy, second law. In other words, during the time, Moses repeated again the law to remind the Israelites because he was going to die. He said, you guys better remember what I told you. And he repeated the entire law the second time. But the Bible says here they have not known God's ways. Is it possible for us when God is leading us, we stray in our hearts and at the end of the day God says they don't know. So the second reason why we are hindered from a full reward is we hear God's word but we do not receive them, we don't welcome them. We don't welcome them. Okay, we don't actually accept it into our hearts to change our lives. And so we are not changed. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, third point. Therefore God, so God, I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. When we leave God firstly, when we leave God, we always leave God firstly in our hearts, then in our actions. Very soon, our actions become cooled to a point that there is no action. That's erring in our hearts. We need to be very careful. If God leads us, He expects us to follow. But what happens is, when we hear God's word, we harden our hearts. When we hear God's word, we don't receive them anymore as we used to. When we leave God firstly in our hearts, we will then leave God in our actions. Very soon, our actions become less and less for God. This happens especially. In churches I've seen before whereby after people have served for some time, you know what they'll say? I need to give the younger people a chance. You know what they didn't do? They sit down and do nothing. You know what happens then? Or they just, you know what, the reward stops. Stops. How is God? If God is leading, the people are moving, but if they're not going to follow, how can God bless them? Okay? It is possible that we need to be careful that we don't leave God in our hearts because it will follow by actions. From verse 13 to 19, which is quite long, I'll just read the last verse, which is actually the crux of the passage. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. The real reason for leaving God and to do our own thing is unbelief. The real reason to leave God and do our own thing is unbelief. It's always unbelief. Because we no longer believe that God should be in charge of our lives. We no longer believe that we should follow the Bible. We no longer believe that obedience is the most important thing. It's unbelief. Okay? It's unbelief. Is it possible for people still to come to church but do not believe anymore? Why are they coming to church? You know why? Many times just to soothe your conscience or to fulfill an obligation. And God says, I'm not interested anymore. But you know what? God doesn't want us to... Look, I'm giving you all these signs. And that's why in Exodus 19, God tells Moses, tell these people, you have seen what I did to Israel, to Egypt. You have seen what I've done. You know, God has led us 11 months and a half. You have seen. Many of you on Friday nights, perhaps on Saturdays, in youth club, during Sunday, sometimes you have an opportunity to say, I thank God. You have seen what God has done. And God told Moses, you tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I've done. Have you seen? Do you realize there is a responsibility? Because God says, since you have seen, recognize that I want to draw you to myself. Have you grown in your Christian life? Thank God, I believe some of you have grown. Some of you are doing a little bit more for the Lord. I thank God for that. It's a result of what you've experienced with God. You know what? Don't stop growing. Don't stop growing. For those who are older in the faith, can I challenge you? We are going to have, by God's grace, many, many more younger people who are willing to come and do some things. We need to lead them. Okay? And finally, biggest encouragement for me, God completes His leading in our lives. God will complete it. In Joshua 11 verse 23, alright, that's the Joshua 11 23. There was one time I was reading this part and in the book of Joshua, and then we realized, God, the entire promised land wasn't conquered, what, fully by Joshua, you know. God, that means Joshua didn't finish his job. Until I read this verse, Joshua 11 verse 23. Now let's read together. Okay, ready? 1, 2, begin. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. If you realize, the land of Canaan was not completely conquered, but God says Joshua has finished his job. God completes His leading. God told, I'm going to bring you into the promised land. Okay? And God says, Moses, you are my leader. I say, huh? Yes, you. Okay. When brought the 2 million people out of Egypt, went into the wilderness. Yeah, they tahan for 40 years because of sin. Huh? People don't want to go in. So they waited 40 years. Caleb, Joshua, they went in. Who brought down the walls of Jericho? Joshua? God, right? Who brought down Ai, the next one? Although there was sin, God took over using Joshua and his men, and the Bible says Joshua took the whole land. How? According to all that the Lord said unto Moses. God completes His leading for our life. Let me read a few verses. Being confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That means every one of us, once saved, what? We are forever saved because God is the one that is going to bring us home. Amen? The promise of eternal security. Psalm 138 verse 8, the Lord will mature, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. What is most important to you and what God's plan is for you, God will perfect it. That's what the Bible says here. The promise that God will complete His will for us. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 10. Let's turn there, right? Turn there. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. 1 Peter 5 verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. Let's read there. Ready? 1, 2. Begin. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Okay, you know what it means here? God of all grace, who has called you unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, now He has saved you. He has saved you. After that ye have suffered a while. In other words, you may have to go through some trials for God to perfect. There are a few things here. Number one, make you perfect. That was Peter's prayer for the Jews. Make you perfect. The word perfect there means to be matured. Interestingly, the word perfect means also to be restored. That means that we as a sinner has been broken by sin perhaps, may have been broken by things in this life. God says, I want to make you perfect, restore you. Some of us may go through the hard times in our hearts and we cry, perhaps things happen, but God wants us to be mature. make us restored. Okay? And number one, number two, established. The word established is interesting. It means to set fast. The idea of super glue. How many of you had super glue on your hand before? You have? You enjoy that? What about you, me putting super glue here and make you clap? It will be very hard to take. You know what God says? Peter praying, may the God of all peace super glue you, set you fast. And some of us will move with every wind of doctrine. God says, I want to make you fast. I want to set you fast. And then strengthen you. The word strengthen means to confirm you in your spiritual knowledge and power. Christians, do you have power? Do you understand what it means for a Christian to have power? You know what power is? Power is when the Holy Spirit takes control of a person who is willing to surrender to Him. And whatever he does, God does something with it. And there will be evidence of that. That's power. I don't know about you, there was one time in my life, I tried to do what was right. I went to Princess Margaret Hospital, you know, in Australia, in my free time, and thinking I tried to be just a comfort to the children. I didn't know what I was doing. Just go there, play with children a while, go home. And it's like, okay. They say, you want to join a volunteer program? You can go. It's like, no, that's not my idea. So I didn't know what to do. And during that time, I was trying in my own strength. You know what power is? Let me ask you. Power is when you share with someone, the person will come to Christ. When you talk to someone, their life will change. Would to God that every one of us had that kind of power in Esther. Do you realize how much God can do with us? I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. That on a daily basis, when you read God's Word, you allow God's Word to take control of your life, and you pray, God, you use me today. When you go out and say, whatever you do, say, God, you use me, and God will use us. Through your SMSs, through your Word. God says, Peter says, I'm praying that you will be strengthened, that your life will count. When you speak to someone, it's not about, let's hope he'll come to Christ. Say, I know he'll come to Christ, because I prayed for him. Let's not talking about pride. It's talking about God, you can use us, and I know you can use us. You know, it's I hope you understand what I'm saying. But you know, these are some things which only you can experience with God, whereby when you understand God leads you, and when we understand that God wants us to obey Him, and when we obey Him, then this prayer will come to pass. You know, one of the things I hope is not true. I hope that every one of you, before you meet Christ, you will have the privilege of leading some people to Christ. If you go through your entire life without leading someone to Jesus Christ, we need to ask God for power as a church. It's not just a select few. God wants everyone. Ye, plural, shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Acts 1:8. Here the Bible, Peter is praying, I'm praying for the God of all grace to confirm you in your spiritual knowledge and in power. That your life will be different. And finally, to settle, the word settle means to consolidate your life. Meaning to give you a strong basis. That you will never again doubt God. Is it possible to come to a place that you don't doubt God? You know what? You should come to a place that you don't doubt God. You only doubt your ability to trust God. And that God, some of us still are not 100% trusting God. God says, I want you to be consolidated in your beliefs in me. And one more verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. When God calls you, he'll finish it. Amen? And some of you may struggle and say, God, I can't do it. God will. I'm looking forward to moving there, because God has called us to that place. Looking forward to the time that God will use us and that multiplication will keep happening. More lives will be saved from sin. More families will be reconciled. Can you imagine God using us? And can I say this? Not just families will reconcile. Our families, our own families will be reconciled. That's power. When you can take a broken family and put him back again, that's power. There was this little boy who was afraid of Giganticus, right? Giganticus is big little one who destroys everyone. And this little boy was afraid and was telling Ben the Baker. Some of you know Ben the Baker, right? And so telling Ben the Baker, this baker, he's a Christian. And I said, he must be very strong, that kind of thing. And then Ben the Baker said, whoa, Giganticus has the power to hurt. But only Jesus has the power to heal. Do you realize it's easy to tear apart? But it's very hard sometimes to put together. But Jesus can. Amen? Amen? The Lord can. And we need to learn to trust Him on that. The Bible says here, thou leadest thy people like a flock. The next part is by the hand of Moses and Aaron. In other words, when God leads, He leads by the hand of man who is willing to follow Him. And Moses and Aaron, we knew. Aaron, by the way, Moses and Aaron, they were failures in some part of their lives. Right? They were. Moses didn't get to go into the promised land, poor thing. What did he do? What did Moses do that stopped him from going to the promised land? Anyone?
He
struck the rock. When God says speak to it, right? In the fit of anger. Isn't that hard? Isn't that hard? Very harsh, right? No. Spiritual leaders are held to a higher level of accountability by God. Fathers, take note of that. If we do the same sin, God judge me worse. Because as far as God is concerned, spiritual leaders have a higher level of accountability with God. Does that make sense? That's why if I fail, publicly I sin, God says you're disqualified. I'm no longer blameless. Blameless. The idea of blameless means there are no outstanding accusations against that person. In other words, the courts cannot come and say, no, Johnny still has this criminal record. That means I'm not blameless. Yeah, I may have done things wrong in the past, but if it's dealt with, then I'm blameless in that sense. Does that make sense? Aaron, was he blameless? Time and again, you know. God had to have mercy on both of them too. May we learn to be led by God, knowing that God has a plan, He knows what He's doing, He's our shepherd, He expects us to follow Him, and He will complete His leading. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time, and I pray, Lord, the Word of God will be an encouragement to every one of us tonight. That God, You have led us through 2011. Yes, Lord, we know, Lord, You may even come on the 30th of December. You may even come on the 29th. We don't know. But God, tonight, collectively, corporately as a church, we just want to thank You for leading Ambassador. We know, Lord, there are many more opportunities later. Thank You for leading us to this place. Thank You for the many souls that have come to Christ through the ministry here. Thank You, Father, that their lives have been gloriously changed by the power of the gospel. Thank You, Lord, for many of us who have seen Your goodness. Thank You, Lord, for You taking care of our families, even in the practical aspects of our lives. Thank You for leading us through the exams, for those who have taken the exams this year. Thank You for leading us through the trials and temptations, sometimes difficult to handle. But those trials and temptations are over, but we are still here because of Your grace. And Father, I pray that all of us will look forward to Your goodness once again. Oh God, I pray for everyone sitting here. Maybe there's one young person or someone who don't understand the leading of God. I pray tonight You will speak to them in a special way. About how You as a shepherd of Israel smite Egypt but took care of tenderly Your people. Lord, thank You for everyone, for every grace that You have given to us, every mercy, every good gift, Lord, thank You for everything that You've given to us as a family to sustain ourselves. Thank You for jobs. Thank You for life itself. Thank You for a church that we can serve you in and through. Lord, thank you for your provision even as ambassador. Thank you for allowing many people to join the church and to be added to your people. Thank you, Father. You are such a good God. Lord, thank you. And I pray today, Father, our hearts will be fixed on this thinking, Lord. In everything, we will give thanks from now on. And God, we will do all things without complaining because you are a good God. Thank you for leading us, Lord, like a flock, like sheep. And you are a mighty shepherd who leads us. Thank you once again. We pray in Jesus' name.